Welcome back to Byline on WFPL. I'm Rick Hellett, and it is time for our arts segment, and Aaron Keene joins us. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Rick.
Before we get to your special guest, very excited about your guest today, but we want to talk about some things going on this weekend and this holiday season in the area as in terms of theater and other events. Lots of holiday productions underway.
So many holiday productions. A Christmas Carol is open at Actors Theater of Louisville, the 37th annual production of A Christmas Carol. Apparently, according to ATL, they are the second longest running production in the country. The Guthrie Theater in Minneapolis has them beat by a year. Lots of familiar faces returning. William McNulty as Scrooge. The production is beautiful. It's heartwarming. And essentially, it's become more than a tradition. I feel like it's become more of a ritual, you know, going and attending and sort of experiencing Scrooge's journey to redemption along with him, even though, you know how it ends.
Yeah, but can't change that.
Right.
And you saw it last night, right?
I did. It's a beautiful production. Some of the standout moments include Lindsay Noel Whiting, who works with the Looking Glass Theater in Chicago. She is the ghost of Christmas past, and she comes down aerial silks and does lots of sort of flying during it. So very magical. Lovely, lovely production.
And it wouldn't be the holiday season without a production of The Nutcracker.
Exactly. If you're looking for another traditional Christmas arts event to attend, The Nutcracker opens this weekend at Whitney Hall. This is the Louisville Ballet's annual flagship performance. And in very good news, live music is going. The Louisville Orchestra is going to be in the pit for the first 2 weeks of the run. This is a last-minute addition. Folks are pretty excited about this. I think you really can't beat live music with the ballet, so...
And there are some non-Christmas things going on. Savage Rose opens. I'm not going to pronounce this.
Well,
you pronounce it. Go ahead.
Yeah, nothing says Christmas like a politically motivated sex strike, I guess. Lysistrata is opened last night at the Mex, which is the black box-ish theater in the Kentucky Center. Mm-hmm. That's a Savage Rose classical theater production. They're a classical theater company, so they do lots of older texts. And Lysistrata is that sort of now iconic story of... women banding together to try and put a stop to the Peloponnesian War, decide to stop having sex with the men. It's an old Greek drama, good old-fashioned political play.
There's Lysistrata, as I pronounced correctly,
yes.
And a very exciting film festival this weekend at the Dreamland Film Center as well.
Yeah, if you've already had your fill of Christmas carols, the Dreamland Film Center, which is the great new theater that the Louisville Film Society has opened in Nulu, they are putting on the Real Sounds film series starting tonight. There's Wooden Box, a documentary on Kentucky pop cellist Benso Lee, and also the Valtari Film Experiment, which is a collection of short films, including some fan-submitted creations for tracks for the Sigur Rós album Valtari. So kind of a cool music video compendium. Tomorrow, The Wild World of Hazel Atkins, and The Dancing Outlaw, which is where we first met, West Virginia musical icon and lifestyle guru Jessica White.
Oh, Jessica, the great Jessica
yes.
White. All right. Well, thank you very much for that, Aaron. Now, let's meet your guest. Now, the film Lincoln has been critically acclaimed on many levels. For one, the production is just, I hear, is just terrific, and lots of period authenticity. And a part of that is your two guests, right?
Absolutely. I'm here with the founder of the Kentucky Baroque Trumpets, Don Johnson. Say hi, Don.
Hello.
And Michael Tunnell, who is a member of the Kentucky Baroque Trumpets and a professor of music at U of L.
Hi there.
Hi, Michael. And you guys are part of President Lincoln's own band. You played in the flag-raising ceremony scene in the first, 15 minutes or so of Lincoln.
That's right.
So, Don, can you tell us how your ensemble got involved with the shoot?
It started with them wanting original, authentic instruments and not modern instruments, and that led them to the 8th Brigade Band, which I believe is in Minnesota, and also to Mark Elrod. And when they were in contact with Mark Elrod, he found out that there was an E-flat cornet solo in it, and he said, well, you need to get Don Johnson to play the E-flat cornet solo. And we were sort of in contest with the 8th Brigade for quite a while. I think California just kind of chosen them early. Eventually, I was in charge of choosing the musicians, the rest of the musicians, if we did it. And so I chose a lot of the musicians from the Kentucky Baroque Trumpets, including Mike. And I think looking at our website and instruments that we had to offer, we had a lot of things to offer that the 8th Brigade couldn't do.
Okay,
or 1st Brigade, I'm sorry.
So for a filmmaker who is as sort of invested in authenticity as Spielberg is, and especially with this production, Michael, can you explain to me why any old band, any old military type band would not do for this film?
Well, it's all about the sound. I mean, part of it is the look, I'm sure. Modern instruments have a different, distinctive look. The Civil War instruments are a very distinctive look. And beyond that, the sound is quite different. The pitch level of the 150-year-old instruments is at 458 for A, or around 450 to 458 A. And, of course, modern instruments generally are around 440.
Well, what does that mean for a person who's just, for like a layperson's ears?
Well, it's a little different different tone quality. For one thing, it's a much lighter sound. Mm. It's not as loud. It's, I hate to use the word delicate, but it's actually a little more, it's a very warm, round sound. The louder the instruments have gotten in modern times, there is somewhat a projection factor which can go towards stridency, and the historical instruments are really a much more elegant sound. I think elegant's a good word for that.
Also, and you said that this is film, so the look matters too. Don, can you tell me, maybe just using your average trumpet as an example, how a Civil War era authentic trumpet differs in look from the trumpets that we're used to seeing on stage today?
Well, the instruments that we used in the movie were all over the shoulder, so which means that they point backwards instead of forwards.
Ah.
And the reason that they used over the shoulder instruments at that time period was because a lot of the time the band would be in front of the soldiers when they marched. So that way the soldiers could hear the instruments. So we used all over the shoulder instruments in the movie, and it was a true authentic sound. Nothing was dubbed over in Hollywood on that.
Wow, so you guys played live, and that's the sound that you're hearing on the film.
Yes, and these are not reproduction instruments. These are actual 150-year-old instruments.
Where do you find a 150-year-old cornet?
A very good friend of mine, Mark Elrod, has the finest private collection in the world of over-the-shoulder instruments in his home. And so we could have choose to use all of his, but there were some members that I chose in the group that had their own, so we let them use their own. But he could easily suit a whole band with his instruments.
Also, when you're used to playing one type of instrument, how much modification, how much practice time has to go into changing your breath, your mouth techniques in order to play one of these older instruments?
Well, it's an adjustment. It is. But the quality of musicians that we have in our group is quite amazing, really, and their ears went right to what it should have been, and with people like Don, Don is renowned in this style, and in historic instruments in general, and with his guidance and leadership, we really quickly adapted. It was quite an amazing venture.
Well, so the Kentucky Baroque Trumpets is the ensemble that you lead, Don, and that you're drawing from for this band. And, you know, they say if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. but it was a little bit, right? I mean, the difference between the modern valve trumpet and a Baroque trumpet is great. So you guys already have a lot of practice and time working on playing on instruments that are not necessarily taught in your average music school right now, right? So tell us a little bit about the Baroque trumpet.
Well, the Baroque trumpet is about twice as long as your modern trumpet, and it does not have valves. And it's extremely difficult to play. And that's why they have modern instruments today. You're more likely to miss, much more likely to miss a note on a Baroque trumpet than you will on either a modern trumpet or a piccolo trumpet. The piccolo trumpet's cut in half again. So, as an example, if you go to hit a G at the top of the staff with your piccolo trumpet, the two closest notes are a half octave away. If you go to hit a G at the top of the staff on your Baroque trumpet, you could hit the note a half step under it or a half step over it. Yeah. So the margin of error is there's a great big difference.
It's a precision. It really can
be. And it also gives you a different overtone series, since it's and which gives it its unique sound. Since it's 2 to 4 times longer than modern instruments, it has, again, a much warmer sound that blends better with string and voice.
So Civil War films, period films, are there, do they usually go as far as Spielberg did for that authentic sound?
No.
To my knowledge, we are the first ones that were ever used to where they used the soundtrack that live. Everything else has been dubbed over in Hollywood. And I think Mike said it right, that when we met Mr. Spielberg the first time, he, of course, said hello and how are you all, et cetera. And then he said, let's hear the solo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they talk about pressure. But the reason was, I think he wanted to see what our sound was like and were we going to have to use a click track, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And we didn't.
And so this is something, though, that Civil War historians and buffs would notice if they were watching a film that just had old trumpeters
really
in it.
Really, musicians will notice.
Yes.
I know. Keen ears will hear the difference.
There, in fact, there's another place in the film where there was a band going down the street, if you remember that, and you can tell that wasn't authentic. That was a modern sounding in the studio recording that was used there.
That was probably Chicago Symphony.
Oh. Could have been.
The sound.
Yeah, you can hear. You can definitely hear a difference in the sound. Yeah.
So, how long was the film shoot?
Well, we showed up on a Saturday, and we were in makeup, hair, and costume for I don't know. I want to say like 6 to 8 hours. It was a long day. Then we had rehearsal. Then we had a day off on Sunday, and the shoot was actually early in the morning. Our call was 5 a.m.
Wow.
And I'd say the shoot was 1.5 to 2 hours long.
Okay.
No, it was three.
Oh, it was three.
It was 8 to
11.
See,
it was so much fun.
It went from 8 to 11.
I remember being very cold. That was the biggest thing.
Yes, it was
a little authenticity
30s.
For you.
It was
low
30s.
Really cold.
Low 30s that morning.
And so this is the ensemble's first film, but not its last, right? Can we talk about the next project, Don?
Well, someone that was employed by DreamWorks was asked to work for the National Geographic film called Killing Lincoln, and they gave them our information. So I bought the uniforms that we used in the first movie, and with the hope that when we were allowed to talk, we had to wait a year before we had to sign non-disclosure statements. But after a year that we would have our group and call it President Lincoln's Own. You can go to Kentucky Broke Trumpet's website and see now we've included President Lincoln's Own in our group. So we did a National Geographic this past summer, used our uniforms in that, and we also played at Gettysburg back in November for Mr. Spielberg again, and we have some real nice photos of that.
Great. And so the National Geographic film Killing Lincoln comes out when?
2013 is all I've heard. So it comes out early 2013.
Okay. So if you haven't seen Lincoln yet, you can keep an eye out for President Lincoln's Own band there in the first one, the 15, 20 minutes or so of the film.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks to Don Johnson and Michael Tunnel of the Kentucky Baroque Trumpets. We'll look forward to you in the film. And thanks to you, Aaron Keene, WFPL Arts and Humanities reporter.